yajñasya kutonya kurusattamah. O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Whatever form of material existence one is in, one is invariably ignorant of his real situation. In other words, existence in the material world is due to the multiple reactions of our sinful lives. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of one's dragging on in material existence. The human form of life is the only loophole by which we may get out of this entanglement. The Vedas therefore give us a chance for escape by pointing out the paths of religion, economic comfort, regulated sense gratification, and at last, the means to get out of the miserable condition entirely. The path of religion, or the different kinds of sacrifice recommended above, automatically solves our economic problems. By performance of yajna, we can have enough food, enough milk, etc. Even if there is a so-called increase of population, when the body is fully supplied, naturally the next stage is to satisfy the senses. The Vedas prescribe, therefore, sacred marriage for regulated sense gratification. Thereby one is gradually elevated to the platform of release from material bondage, and the highest perfection of liberated life is to associate with the Supreme Lord. Perfection is achieved by performance of yajna, sacrifice, as described above. Now, if a person is not inclined to perform yajna, according to the Vedas, how can he expect a happy life, even in this body, and what to speak of another body on another planet? There are different grades of material comforts in different heavenly planets, and in all cases there is immense happiness for persons engaged in different kinds of yajna. But the highest kind of happiness that a man can achieve is to be promoted to the spiritual planets by practice of Krishna consciousness. A life of Krishna consciousness is therefore the solution to all the problems of material existence. On behalf of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and all of his most fortunate representatives within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we would like to welcome everyone here this evening on this most auspicious occasion. Ratha Yatra is the wonderful festival that has been celebrated since time immemorial. It is an occasion when the Supreme Lord, in his incarnation of Dharu Brahma, Lord Jagannath, comes out of his temple in order to give his most blessed darshan to everyone and anyone without discrimination. It is a time when the devotees of the Lord celebrate the Lord's mercy by having such wonderful festivals where people could come together to hear the glories of the Lord, to hear the sound of His holy name, to take His prasad, to receive literatures explaining the divine truth, and to associate with the Lord's devotees. And through this most simple and enjoyable process, our hearts can be transformed. In this particular verse from Bhagavad Gita we are reading, Krishna is explaining that without the performance of sacrifice, one cannot find happiness either in this life or the next. Human life is specifically and exclusively been created by God for the purpose of sacrifice. Yagyaratar kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandhanav taratam karma konteya mukta sangapar. And Krishna explains, what is sacrifice? The ultimate and most auspicious of all sacrifice is to offer all of our activities in a spirit of devotion to the Supreme Lord. Any activity that is not performed in the service for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord only entangles us in bondage and misery. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the absolute truth must be understood by knowing that the living entity, the life source that animates this body, is spiritual. It is an infinitesimal part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. That the living entity is simultaneously one with God in quality, in that we are Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, but simultaneously different than God, in the sense that the Paramatma is unlimited. The Paramatma is the cause of all causes. The Paramatma is Him from whom everything is subordinate. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yobadidati kaman. And the Jivatma is always subordinate, always helplessly dependent on the mercy of the Paramatma in every phase of existence. The Lord has three energies. First is the spiritual energy, which composes all of the spiritual world, where everyone is living eternally in loving association with the Lord. The second is the marginal energy, which means every living entity who is of the same spiritual substance from the Lord, but has minute independence or the freedom of choice to either serve the Lord or forget the Lord. And the material energy, the third energy, is the illusory energy. For those who have misused their free will to want to compete with God rather than serve God, we are cast in an abyss of forgetfulness. This material energy throws us down into a state where we forget that we are eternal and blissful, and we identify ourselves with these material bodies. Within these material existence, there are 8,400,000 species of material bodies, and each one has a particular type of situation by which we can either enjoy or suffer. We act in forgetfulness of God, and whatever our action may be, it is subjecting us to the reactions called karma. Karma is the law of cause and effect. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction that we cannot avoid. If you put your hand in fire, you cannot avoid being burnt. Similarly, there are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance, sattva-guna, raja-guna, and tamaguna. And according to our activities under the influence of these modes, we accept a particular type of reaction. Sometimes it brings us happiness and sometimes distress. Sometimes success and sometimes failure. Sometimes honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain, birth and death. The three modes of material nature keep us always in a condition of duality. But Krishna explains that all these dualities are temporary. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avartano arjuna mamupeta tu konteya punar janmana vijyate. Whether by performing pious activities you go to the highest heavenly planet of Brahmaloka, or whether you engage in gruesome sinful activities and go down to the lowest hellish planet, Patala Loka, they are all temporary places. They are all places of birth and death. So therefore, knowledge is to understand how to get out of this transmigration of the soul through various species of life. This human form of life is extremely rare. After suffering so many births and deaths, we finally come to the summit of the evolutionary scale of the soul. In this human form of life, we have the opportunity to liberate ourselves once and for all through the practice of bhakti. Religion is meant for human beings, and human beings are meant for only religion. But we find within the various religions of today, there are so many different paths and promises. Even within this Vedic culture, there is Karma Kanda, there is Jnana Kanda, Astanga Kanda. For those who want higher forms of material pleasure, there is the process of sacrifice by which giving in charity, performing pious activities, doing various kinds of yajnas, you can actually attain great, great opulences and riches, much power within this world. But actually, however wealthy, however powerful, you remain miserable. Because there are three sufferings within this material existence that are present everywhere. Ariatmaka, aridaivaka, aribhautika. Miseries caused by one's own body and mind. Miseries caused by other living beings. And miseries caused by the higher powers or natural disturbances. Whether you are a king or a beggar in the street, you will suffer these threefold miseries. And really there is very little difference. A beggar in the street is begging for some chapati, and he eats the chapati, and he's satisfied. And the king, living in his beautiful, beautiful palace, is served the most luxurious foodstuffs on golden plates by beautiful servants and maidservants. But if someone insults him, he's in so much anxiety he cannot eat one morsel. So he cannot even enjoy to the degree of the beggar. So really, elevation through piety does not bring much greater happiness, because the threefold miseries are everywhere, for everyone. And death can strike and take everything away from us at any given moment. So the Vedas declare that why frustrate yourself by performing religious activities for the purpose of material acquisition? It is certainly better than being sinful, where you incriminate yourself in terrible, terrible miseries. Some people are ignorant, and they look around and see that people are engaging in so many terrible irreligious activities, and they appear to be happy. But if we understand the science of how this world works, they may be happy due to past pious activities, but whatever they are doing now, they will have to suffer atrociously for. So we should not be impressed or fooled by the appearance of things. An intelligent person does not judge things by how they appear, but he understands what is behind, what is the substance of what we see. And after frustration, we take to the path of Astanga Kanda or Jnana Kanda, where through understanding the difference between matter and spirit, we try to refrain from all sensory activities. Sometimes through the various yogic processes, or sometimes through the speculative process of neti, 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 we try to somehow withdraw our senses and our mind from this world. But this world is so powerful. Arjuna explained to Krishna that it seems that to control the mind and senses is more difficult than to control the wind. And Krishna said, yes, it is. Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vamye prapadyante mayam etatarantite. But one who surrenders to me, that person only, by my grace, can be delivered from the three modes of material nature, which are very, very, very impossible to overcome. So of all paths of religion, the path of bhakti is the most sublime. It is the easiest, because it is the means by which the power and the glory of God Himself comes to our rescue. So first we must understand who we are and what is the goal of life. That is called sambandha. And then we must understand how to practice the process by which we can achieve the goal of life. That is called abhideha. And that is what Krishna is speaking of here in Bhagavad Gita. How to perform sacrifice. And the greatest sacrifice is that which is satisfying to Krishna. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das. The original consciousness of every living being is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to understand that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. We are meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. Yad karoshi rashnasi yad juhoshi tatasi yad yad tapasyasi konte yad tad kurushumat arapanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, whatever charity or austerities you may perform, Krishna says, should be done as an offering to me. And any other work you do that is not done as an offering to Krishna will only further incriminate you in the laws of karma and in the bondages of the sufferings of this world. It is a very popular misconception that Bhagavad Gita teaches that work is worship. That if you simply do your work honestly, then that is the teachings of Gita. That will liberate you from the cycle of birth and death. But Krishna very, very specifically and emphatically declares in this verse that any work that is not done in devotion to God is the cause of bondage. It is not worship. It is simply greed, illusion. It is a product of ignorance. To work in harmony with our real nature means to perform bhakti. And bhakti is possible and practical within our daily life only when we are working under the direction of the Lord's representatives. Krishna explains in Gita, Tadvadi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnana jnaninastatvadarshana. When we come in the association of those fortunate persons who have truly given their lives to the service of the Lord, they can impart knowledge and practically give us a day-to-day means by which we could live always in connection with Krishna, always in connection with our eternal nature. This is the first and most important principle for everyone to understand who wants to make spiritual progress in life, to associate with those who are sincere devotees of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya said, Sadhu Sangha Sadhu Sangha Sarva Sastra Koi Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That even a moment's association with a great devotee of the Lord can open the doors to liberation. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahura Vimuktaris
Samodvaram Yoshita Sanghi Sangam. But by associating with worldly people, the doors to deeper and deeper bondage and ignorance open wider and wider. Who we associate determines what destination we achieve within our life. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved spiritual master, he traveled around the entire globe 13 times in a matter of 12 years as the foremost ambassador of the innermost truths of Sanatan Dharma. He traveled throughout the world to practically every major city, declaring the true teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And just by seeing him and hearing him, people's entire lives were transformed. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, "Swamiji, we have seen so many yogis performing miracles. Can you demonstrate to us a miracle?" Srila Prabhupada's reply was that to make gold is not very important. I can give you a gold ring, or you can go to the jewelry store and buy a gold ring. I can give you some ashes, or you can make a fire and make your own ashes. I can give you an apple, or you can go to the market and buy apple. These are not real miracles. I can heal you from your sickness and disease, or you can go to the doctor and get some medicine and be healed of your sickness and disease. But here are people who were addicted to illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating, who were wasting their lives miserably without an understanding of truth or God. And now they are living pure. Now they are constantly addicted, not to drugs and to sense gratification, but to glorifying God and service to God. Now, wherever they are going, they are inducing everyone they meet to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. To make hippies into happies. This is my miracle. And the journalist with folded palms said, "Swamiji, you have performed the greatest miracle." This is the power of the association of the Lord's devotees. Because in this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, we learn how in our practical life to apply the teachings of Gita and ultimately achieve prayojana jnana, the goal of life, which is to understand the eternal love for Krishna, which is dormant within us. Prema pumartha mahan, the ultimate goal is to love Krishna. And this is the ultimate goal of every great religion, to love Krishna. And the nature of love is to surrender to the beloved, not out of force, but out of one's own free will. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once approached by three persons from the village of Shikanda. One was named Mukunda, one was named Raghunandan, and the other was Narahari. And they asked him for instruction, how they could best serve him. Because through service we achieve the goal of life. And this service is the greatest sacrifice. Lord Chaitanya told Mukunda, "You are a householder. You have a wife, you have children. And you are a doctor." He was actually a physician, such an expert in his profession that even the king would take diagnosis and medication from him So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, it is your duty to gain material and spiritual wealth and to use it all in the service of the Lord. And then he turned to Raghunandan and he said, it is your duty to always serve the deity of the Lord in the temple. And he told Narahari that you should stay here with me and preach the message of the Lord throughout the world. These three basic occupations comprise the perfection of human society. One is the householder who has family, who may have a home, an occupation, to perform their occupation in such a pious, devotional, and exemplary way. This is one of the greatest needs in society today. This is what Krishna told Arjuna to do. Arjuna was a householder, and he was a warrior. Krishna told him, there is no need to give up your family. There is no need to give up your profession. But you perform all of your activities in a spirit of devotion. Duryodhana was also a grihastha and a military person. But what was the difference between Duryodhana and Arjuna? One worked for his own personal interest, Duryodhana, and Arjuna worked for God's interest in a spirit of devotion and surrender to the Lord. Duryodhana is forever condemned, and Arjuna is forever glorified. Every time millions and millions of people read Bhagavad Gita every day, it is the glorification of Arjuna for surrendering to the will of Krishna. It is through him that Krishna spoke words to liberate the whole human society forever. So, whether we are businessmen, housewives, teachers, architects, farmers, politicians, lawyers, cooks, or doctors, it doesn't really matter whether we are students. But we should apply our intelligence to learn how to utilize these natural, social, occupational functions for the betterment of humanity through bringing about an enlightened society of Krishna consciousness. And this is only possible if the foundation of our life is based on spiritual principles. That comes by associating with devotees, by hearing the truth of the teachings and the pastimes of the Lord each day, and by regularly performing the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and by following the principles of freedom. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat, activities that degrade our consciousness. And then, through the guidance of great spiritual personalities, spiritual master, sadhus, we can actually apply every aspect of our life to Krishna consciousness. Our homes become not just deep wells for sense gratification, our homes become Vaikuntha, beautiful temples where we come to get spiritually enlivened, where our families are all harmonious together in the service of the deity of God. This was the principle that Mukunda lived by. And Raghunandan, he was a brahmachari. And he did the puja and the service in the temple of the ashram, which is very, very important. It is very important that there be spiritual educational centers for people to come to learn. People in India have become so ignorant If you want to build a temple, people say, well, why don't you use that money to build a college or feed the poor? Building the temple is college and feeding the poor. People are spiritually starving. Even the wealthiest classes of people are spiritually poverty-stricken. They are starving. They are emaciated. They are dying. All classes of men are. These temples are meant to be places to feed them with spiritual knowledge, spiritual inspiration and direction. And as far as universities, there are so many universities, the biggest universities. Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, spoke at Harvard and MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Most prestigious college in all the world, practically. And he was very straightforward. He told them that you are all in ignorance. You have such a nice university with so many sophisticated subjects. Is there one subject in your university that teaches what is the soul and what is the body? What is the difference between matter and spirit? Is there any subject in your entire curriculum that tells you who you are or what the purpose of life is? And all the professors and the deans and the students, they said, Swamiji, no. These things we don't talk about. There isn't a single university in the world that talks about that. The temple is not meant to simply be a place where you go and you offer some superstitious prayers and you perform some rituals and give a donation and leave. Unfortunately, that's what people think temples are. You turn around, you spin around, you chant some mantras that you learned from your grandmother, and then you give some little donation, and you get some spot on your head, and you leave. That is not temple. The great acharyas, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, these great personalities, they established temples as places where people could come to be educated in the goal of life, in how to live practically, in such a way that you are liberating your existence and not condemning your existence. Srila Prabhupada worked very hard to build temples. And he explains in his books, the purpose of these temples is simply to get people to come to learn how to associate with devotees. In the association of devotees, they are trained how to live practically in this world in the service of God and be happy. So those who are taking care of the temples are actually great, great welfare workers on the highest level. And to Narahari Sarakar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you stay with the devotees and you preach. There is a need for sadhus, preaching the glories of the Lord. Sometimes sadhus condemn people in their homes. Why? Attached to wife, children, money, all these things. And the people in their homes, they condemn the sadhus. What a lazy fool he is. Why doesn't he get a job and do something practical? In this way, even in spiritual societies, there is this type of competition. That grihasthas think that the sadhus are useless parasites, and the sadhus think that the grihasthas are useless sense enjoyers. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this wonderful pastime explained how every varna and every ashram is very, very important and integral to one another. That whatever our natural propensity or tendency may be, we act in Krishna consciousness and there can be unity. And when all these different types of social orders unite and harmonize for the ultimate purpose of serving God and uplifting human society, then there can be real love, real trust, and real peace within our own lives and within the world. And the harmonizing factor in this age of Kali Yuga is one, the congregational chanting of the holy names. There is so much strife and so much distrust, such great disharmony on every level. Nowadays, men and women are having battles, sex battle. Women want liberation, men want control. In this way, there's great fighting between the sexes, especially in the Western world. And there is fighting between castes, and there is fighting between religions, and there is fighting between nations. There is fighting between species. There is fighting on every level. There's fighting between family members. 70% of all marriages in America end in divorce within 3 years. Divorce is the last stage of fighting, battle, dissension. So how to create unity and harmony and peace and situation of love between living beings in this world? In this age of Kali Yuga, it is explained, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. It is possible through spiritually surcharging our consciousness through the incarnation of the Supreme Lord who has descended in this age in His holy name. The name of God is none different than God. All of the powers and potencies of the Absolute Truth are contained within His name. And we can have direct contact and thus become purified, purified from within and without by the sound of the name of God. When water becomes filled with mud, its transparent nature is no longer visible. But when we filter that water, its transparent nature is revived. Similarly, our pure God consciousness has been contaminated by the mud of so many desires and attachments within this world of false ego. But the only means of filtering our consciousness and bringing it back to its pure, transparent, spiritual, blissful state is through taking the medication that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Avatar, has brought, which is the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Chanting of the Lord's names is so blissful, it is joyful. And we see tonight, there are people who are rich and there are people that are poor. There are men and women, there are old people, generations. There are children and parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. There are people from America and Europe and Africa and India and Australia. There are people from so many various castes and so many various communities. There are people of various religions. And just see how we really have very little in common. But when the congregational, the chanting of the holy names begins, we all become one blissful, united family. We become one voice in the glorification of God. We become purified together, individually and collectively. So these types of gatherings are the most important means to bring about the solution to the problems of this world. And when we return to our homes, we should go home with the inspiration of what we have received here and live a life in harmony with the will of God and always keep the name of God on your lips and always keep the instructions of the Lord's devotees in your heart. And in this way, achieve the real success of human existence. We are like fish out of water. The spirit soul, by nature, is meant to be swimming in the ocean of ecstatic love of God. But now we are on the dry shore of material life. And we are trying to find happiness somehow or other on this dry shore. But whatever arrangement the fish makes, as long as he's laying in the sand of material existence, he will never be satisfied. Srila Prabhupada has come on behalf of Krishna and the great Guru Parampara to show us the way back into the ocean of Krishna consciousness, where we can be free and happy in devotion to the Lord. And that is really the solution to all our problems. Our problems will not be solved by economic or political means. They will only be solved through the purification of our consciousness, through developing love, compassion, mercy, the qualities of our very soul. So it is this sacrifice that Krishna is bringing to our attention. Jagyai sankirtana prayai yajantehi shumedashaha. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that in this age of Kali Yuga, there was one great sacrifice which all people with good intelligence will perform. And that is the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names. At this time, we would like to invite everyone to participate in this wonderful, most merciful process, which has been personally introduced by the Lord Himself in this age of Kali Yuga, for cleansing our hearts and reviving our spiritual consciousness. Thank you very much. As I am chanting, everyone, fold your palms like this. You can please do so just now. Krishna is non-different than his name. As the name of Lord is entering into our ears and into our heart, we should, with humility and sincere devotion, attentively welcome the Lord into our heart. This folding of palms is namaskar. It means to bow down with great humility to welcome a respectable person. And Krishna is the supreme most respectable person. So in a spirit of gratitude and humility, let us welcome Krishna's name into our heart as we are listening. And as you are chanting, please raise your arms like this. Everyone. Hi. When we raise our arms, we are chanting the holy names and offering our lives, our body, mind, words, our very life at the lotus feet of His holy name. And we are calling out the holy name like a child calls out for its mother, that you are my only refuge. I offer myself to you. Please save me. This is the transcendental dance which is the perfection of all asanas, the perfection of all pranayam, the perfection of all entertainment, the perfection of everything and every subject, is to dance in this way that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught, and very seriously and loudly chant Krishna's holy names. And also to create a sense of more unity, Srila Prabhupada taught us how to move our legs during this wonderful spiritual process of dancing. You can demonstrate, please. This is Rohini Nandan Prabhu, the illustrious brother of Mahaprabhu Prabhu. Hare Krishna. This is called the Swami step. So everyone will do. please do not be ashamed. You should be ashamed to not do it. If you don't do this, everyone will look at you like you're an outcast. If you do it, everyone will think, oh,